Good evening. Good to be with all the non-Ravens fans here tonight. I unfortunately am a Steelers fan. Grew up in Pennsylvania, can't help it, never gonna change. Never say never, but probably not. Nah, forget the Eagles, no. We're gonna be in Ephesians 5 tonight. I'm going to read some really interesting verses. We'll go from verse 3 to verse 14 and see how far we get. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 14. I'll read it, we'll pray, and then we'll play a little game of word association, okay? Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore he says, awake you that sleeps, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So Jesus, we ask you to give us your light tonight. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. Show us your way tonight. Teach us your heart. Help us to walk with your love for others. Thank you for everything you have done for us. Pouring yourself out for us. We ask you to bless these words and thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So since we're all so comfy cozy in here tonight, I'm going to throw out a few names, and I want you guys to throw back at me one word that comes to mind when I give you these names, okay? Just one word. Everyone can have a different word. It's okay. You ready? Are you ready? All right, there we go. Okay, you guys are here. All right, just making sure. Al Capone. Gangster. Mafia. Okay. Bonnie and Clyde. Gangsters. Bank robbers, right, okay. Well, that's two words. Okay, I get it, all right. Okay. John Wilkes Booth. There we go, assassin. All right, those are the negatives. Okay, how about John the Baptist? Disciple. What else? John the Baptist. Polycarp. Nice. You guys are history buffs. Okay. Mother Teresa. Billy Graham. All right. Now what you all just did is what it says in verse 3. Now verse 3 is talking about the negatives. Okay, but it says, let none of these things be once named among you. The moment I said these names, you came up with what's associated to these people. You came up with how they're remembered. If you go to the obituary section, the death notices in the Baltimore Sun, you see some large articles and you see some very small ones. It's not the size of the article, really, but it's the words that are there depicting those people and their lives. Much the same way you just depicted all these people with a few words. How does Christ see us? How does Christ see us? What will be named among you whenever we're with him? What will be named among you? Let's go through these words quickly, a few biblical examples, and then let's get to what will really be named among us when we're with Christ. So this first one, verse 3, fornication. Have you ever heard of Jezebel? Revelation chapter 2, the prophetess who terrorized Thyatira. She seduced guys and girls to be followers of her and do terrible things, all in the name of her own powers, her own seduction. Fornication. How about uncleanness? Uncleanness. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis. Uncleanness. Covetousness. Here's a definition for covetousness. Maybe a more modern definition for covetousness. If you look at the ESV, it just uses the word greed. Stepping on others for personal gain. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 22. Check out this guy named Jehoiakim. Very interesting. Jeremiah 22. Starting in verse 13. Woe unto him that builds his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that uses his neighbor's service without wages, and gives him not for his work, that says, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cuts him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shall you reign because you close yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? He judged the cause of the poor and needy, then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are not but for your covetousness, and for to shed innocent blood, and for oppression, and for violence to do it. Here it is, the stepping on others for personal gain. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, ah, my brother, or ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, ah, Lord, or ah, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of a donkey, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. What will be named for Jehoiakim? What will be named amongst us? Let none of these things be named among you, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This phrase, which is not convenient, is like taking a puzzle piece that belongs to a completely different puzzle and trying to force it in to that. You have like almost a full picture made and you have one piece missing and you really want to just finish that puzzle, but you can't. So it's not convenient, but you're just trying to get this puzzle piece to fit in there to make it right. And it's never going to be right. It's like there's a little tongue or a groove missing that just won't ever let that fit in there correctly. If you have these things in your life, you will never fit correctly into the body of Christ. It is not an accusation or a condemnation. It is a truth from God and from Paul towards this group of people who, remember, we talked about last week, are coming from all these different rulers, all these different backgrounds, all these different belief systems, all these different gods they used to worship. All of this stuff is coming into one place and trying to fit into what Christ is calling them to be. Remember, they are to be imitators in verses 1 and 2. But rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Look at this verse, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There's three devious men mentioned in the book of Jude. Who knows who they are? Korah, Balaam and Cain. Let's check out Korah, Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. In Numbers chapter 11, God says to Moses, pick out 70 members among you, 70 elders, and I will take the spirit that I have given you and I will break it up and give it to them. And this is like God's order. This is God's way. This is his desire. This is how he wanted to do things for Moses to alleviate some of his responsibilities. And then just a few chapters later, this guy named Korah comes in and he wants to do things his own way. He wants to do things in a way that seems right to him. It says in verse 2, well, let's just start from the beginning. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and on the... Oh, we could have skipped all that. Okay, he's the son of many of these people. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, here's the vain words. Here they come. You ready? You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. What does it say happens to those who lift themselves up with vain words? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. What happens to the earth and the 250 princes in Korah? They're swallowed. They're judged. Exactly what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 5. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. How often do we want things to go our own way? How often do we want them to work out exactly the way that we have planned, exactly what we have like laid out in our minds and say, okay, if this happens, then everything's going to be okay. But the moment God instructs us and the moment God teaches us or the moment that God humbles us, everything is perfect. Everything is exactly as it should be. Vain words that man tends to live by. Have you guys heard these phrases before? Morality is relative. Morality is relative. The book of Judges is all about morality being relative. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Every single time everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes, God has to raise up a judge. God has to come in and set things in order again, over and over and over again. The book ends saying, and everyone continued to do what was right in their own eyes. Well, here we are in the book of Ephesians. Here we are, Paul talking to a congregation of believers who know that the final judge has finally been lifted up. Who is that? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the final judge. Jesus Christ is the last one to secure salvation for all those who would go their own way, who would do their own thing, who would try to live in this cycle of life where everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. How about this one? Just accumulate all of your life. Just accumulate your entire life. That's the purpose of your life. Just accumulate wealth, lovers, possessions, reputation. Just accumulate all of your life. What does Jesus say? What does the final judge say? What does the one who was lifted up and poured out for all of mankind say? It is better to what? To give than to receive. It is better to pour out. It is better to... He set the example in Philippians chapter 2 where he steps down. He thinks it not robbery to consider himself equal with God, but he steps down from his throne onto the earth. He becomes subject to death. He dies the death of a... a criminal on the cross. He dies the death. He becomes subject to everything. He gives everything for us. Vain words cause the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for you were this way. You were sometimes darkness. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2, read from verse 1 all the way up to maybe verse 10, and you see that you do have this old identity. We all have this old life. We all have this old way of thinking that is always trying. What's that? What's that really funny? It's from The Godfather. Okay, forgive me. I tried to get out, but they pulled me right back in. They pulled me right back in. Every time you think you're like finally done with all of that, something pulls you back to that way of thinking, that mode in your life, that fallen nature. Romans chapter 8 puts it this way. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you as a believer, but you also have the carnal mind living inside of you as the believer. You have the sarx mind, the fleshly mind. You have that which is in opposition to God and prone to sin in your mind every single day. Which one do you want to live with? Which one do you want to follow? Which one is giving itself for you? And which one is trying to vaunt itself or proclaim itself or exalt itself? I want to be with the Spirit of God. Paul wants his congregation to be with the Spirit of God. He wants them in Ephesians chapter 4 to walk in unity, to endeavor to keep it, to do everything they possibly can to come together and agree and pour out their lives for each other. So what will be named among you? What will be named among you? You are believers in Christ. What will be named among you? It says, you were sometimes darkness, but now what are you? You're light. Light will be named among you. It says in verse 4, not any of these things which are not convenient, which are not the puzzle pieces that fit, but here's the final puzzle piece, the one that really fits and makes the picture complete. The very end of the verse. Is it up there? It's up there. Giving of thanks. Being thankful. Where does that come from? Being thankful. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Thankfulness comes from contentment. Contentment leads to peace in Colossians chapter 3. Peace allows us to be thankful. So let's just go through it real quick. Philippians 4, 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Contentment. Then you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Contentment leads to peace in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body. This allows us to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, be thankful. Let's read it. What does it say? Wait, Timothy. I went past it. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18. Patrick knows it. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How do we get to that place? We're content in what he's called us. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. We're content in what Christ has said from his throne on high. We're content with the judge of the entire universe saying to us that if you have the Spirit of God, then you are not of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. If you have the Spirit of God, and you do, you're a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit of God, you are not of the flesh. Your default mode is filled with the Spirit. I'm going to take that to the bank every single day for the rest of my life, rather than thinking of all of these things that I could be lost in or pulled back into or taken away and led astray with by a Jezebel or by an unclean spirit or by a group of individuals who are off, not knowing anything about God and his mercy, not knowing anything about what he has done for them and how much he loves them. I would take that every single day to say, this judge says, I am filled with the Spirit. I'm going with that. I'm not believing anything else. And I'm going to be thankful because he says it. Okay, do you know what happens when you commit a crime or you commit an offense against another person and then it's ruled in a court not in your favor? What can you do? You can appeal the decision, right? What happens when you appeal the decision? Where does it go? It goes to a higher court. What happens if that court doesn't find it in your favor? You can appeal it again to a higher court until it gets to the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court decides, it has to be a really big deal for it to get to the Supreme Court, but just imagine it with me. If it gets to the Supreme Court and they make a final ruling on it, that's it. You have nowhere else to go. Now, where does Christ sit in terms of all of these natural courts in the world? Far above all principality and power, Ephesians chapter 1. Far above all of it, the whole earth is his footstool. Everything is beneath him. He is the highest judge. He is the highest ruler. And he's the one screaming down to us, like yelling for us to say, you are spiritual. You have the Spirit of God in you. You can walk with me. You can walk in love towards other people. You don't have to be filled with fornication or uncleanness or covetousness or any of these other things. You can be filled with the Spirit. And I say that you are. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, you are declared righteous. You have the righteousness of God in you because you believe. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone. You call on my name, you'll be saved. That's coming from the highest judge. That's coming from the highest law of the land. That's coming from the only one who's qualified to make that decision and carry out that sentence. And you know what? He carried it out on himself. And he took the punishment upon himself to make it possible for us to be in this place of righteousness and reconciliation and love and knowing what mercy is, being thankful. Go back to verse 5. None of these negative word associations. None of these, you could like think of this as your identity. None of these people have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What will be named among you? What does Jesus say in John 14 to his disciples? I go to prepare a place for you. Would I have said it to you if I have not gone and done so? Romans 8:39, nothing can separate us from his love. This is an inheritance that we have in the kingdom of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are now light. We are now light. There is no changing that. You are now light. What will be named among you? You are light. You are salt on the earth. You are a light on a hill. No action you take, whatever indiscretion you may make, it will never reduce who you are in God's eyes. It will never take that away from you. You are light forever. You are operating in faith, in love, and hope of eternal salvation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 again. Verse 4. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what will be named among you. Faith, love, and hope in eternal salvation. Where does it talk about eternal? Go back to Romans 8 again. Eternal salvation. Those whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. What did he predestinate them to? To be conformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you know that that's like a done deal in God's eyes in your life? That is finished. It is over. It is on its way to happening every single day. Pastor Love said this in an offering a couple weeks ago. He said, every single day, God is changing you. Ever so slightly. You are being conformed into his son, Jesus Christ, so that when you see him, you will be like him. When you're face to face with him, you will be like him. There is no stopping that. That is an unstoppable force. Again, it is coming from the highest judge in the land towards you. Them who he also did predestinate, what did he do? He justified. Them who he justified, he called. Them who he called, what did he do? Eternal salvation, glorified. Glorified. Last one. You ready? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Quickly turn to Isaiah chapter 61. See what Isaiah says about his hope, about his what he's going to rejoice in. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be found joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth her bud and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Is he rejoicing in his own righteousness? Is he rejoicing in anything that he could have possibly ever done or put in himself? No, he's rejoicing in everything that God has already put in him and that he will one day inherit because God has said it will be so. He will have his righteousness. We will all be clothed in his righteousness. Do you want to know what truth you have in Jesus Christ tonight as believers in him, filled with the Spirit of God? Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 says, anyone who can hear what the Spirit has to say to the church is what? You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Romans chapter 8 says that you are more than overcomers. You are more than conquerors. It's the only time the phrase is used in the entire Bible. Paul says, you are more than this overcomer in this life and death battle, in this day-to-day walk with God. You are more than that. You are hooper nikeo. You are beyond a conqueror in this life. Why? Because you have already... What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about death? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I give thanks to Jesus Christ. He's secured the whole thing. It's in him. He's done it. When Paul says these things to this group of believers, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. When we believe that, when we understand that everything he does is for our sake, that all things work together for good for those that love him, when you like read all of this in conjunction with Romans chapter 8 and everything that the Spirit of God has to afford to you as a believer, let's just end in Romans chapter 8. No judgment, verse 1. No judgment, no condemnation. No judgment in your life. None whatsoever. When you face God or Christ, Romans chapter 14, verse 10, at the Bema Seat judgment, it's not the same kind of judgment that we're talking about. He's going to be looking at you, loving you, and showing you things we can't even imagine. Your glorification is... Okay, look here. Let's look at Romans 8, verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why would he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We have no idea what it'll look like when we're glorified. We have no clue. We just know that Christ has done it. He's made it possible for us. And that one day he says we will be before him and we will be like him. And that is unimaginable. That is what real hope is. That is like the hope of glory. That is... I can't put it into words. I'm glad there's so few people here tonight. I don't have to worry about it. No. Christ has given every single bit of himself for us so that we could be sitting here on a Sunday night hearing the word, taught by the Spirit, worshiping together, filled with the Spirit, knit together with the body, members in particular, but united. He's given every single part of himself to make that possible. All of these negative things that you see, all of these words that Paul talks about, all of these instructions, all of these commands are coming from a place where Christ has taken all of that out of the way of your life already. And all you have to do is believe. That is it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We love you for your sacrifice. We wouldn't even know what love is if you didn't show it to us so perfectly and speak to us through it. God, we ask you to help us to walk in thanksgiving, to walk knowing what our inheritance is, to walk as children of light, to be filled with the fruit of your Spirit, to not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. God, we ask you to just take those things out of our lives. Remove them so far from us the way that you remove our sins far from us, God. Take it away from us. Clean that identity out of our lives. Help us to know that we are dressed in your righteousness alone and no one else's. That you have done all of it, that if we just believe, we would be made righteous as you are. If there's anyone online, if there's anyone in the room who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, know that he is for you, that if he is for you, no one can be against you, that he makes you more than conquerors and nothing can ever separate you from his love. All he asks of you is for you to believe in him. Believe in him right now. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. And you will one day be glorified in a manner that you cannot even possibly imagine. And we look forward to that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.